Thank you, worship team. When I think of the song that you just sang, I Will Rise, this is the hope, the true knowledge that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. There is a day coming when we are going to hear our name called, and we are going to be with him forever and ever and ever. By now you know that one of my favorite people in the Old Testament is Joseph. In fact, Joseph is one of the people I am looking forward to meeting when I get to glory, whenever that is. What a marvelous man this person was. He was a prince in every sense of the word. Not only was he a prince, because there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. And these were the 12 sons who were the head of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in their own right, they were a prince, each of the boys. However, by the time that Joseph got to Egypt, it turned out that he was also very much like a prince. He wasn't a prince in terms of what Pharaoh would say, but what we do know, Joseph was not the king by this time. He was not Pharaoh. He was not the head of state, but he was as high up the ladder as one could go, with only one person being greater than him, and that was the great Pharaoh of Egypt. We all know that in one day, Joseph went from the prison to the palace, and from being a prisoner to becoming what we might call the prime minister. What a transformation took place in the life of Joseph. He had been faithful to the Lord through all the circumstances of life. And it turned out that Joseph was a great blessing to Pharaoh, a great blessing to Egypt, a great blessing to his father and his brothers and family members, and ultimately a great blessing to all of Israel as well. The story of Joseph, it's a true story, and it is a story of intrigue, a story of adventure, and a story of God's blessing in unusual circumstances. But first, let us hear from the Word of God. We find in chapter 42 of Genesis, 42, beginning to read at verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God. Now, I don't think we've got the quite verse. It's Genesis 42, verse 1. Are you able to find verse 1?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read, and then when we get to verse 21, you'll see it on the board. Let us hear the word of God. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man, who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more. Joseph said to them, "It is just as I have told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison, so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison, while the rest of you go and take back for yourself, for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, and then turned back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, now, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to learn two things. Number one, Joseph's brothers and their consternation. And number two, Joseph, the forgiving saint. Joseph's brothers and their consternation. Jacob, sometimes called Israel, sends his 10 older sons to Egypt to buy food because there was a great famine. Not only was this famine in Egypt, but it was in Israel and throughout the Middle East. Jacob had heard somehow that there was food and grain to buy in Egypt, so he sent his sons from Israel south to Egypt to buy grain. The Israeli brothers arrived in Egypt and bowed low before the most important man in all of Egypt, under Pharaoh. We know that this man was their brother, Joseph, but they did not know. In fact, at this point, they didn't have a clue. In great contrast, Joseph knew who they were. I wonder how many times Joseph thought about his father and his mother and his brothers and their families. He was exiled. You remember that the brothers sent him, sold him to a caravan, and usually when you are sold to a caravan, you end up in another country and you become a slave. They knew that they had sold him, but they did not know what had come to them. I wonder what was going through his mind. Now this Israeli delegation had arrived in Egypt. They were before him. They even bowed before him. And it's been 20 years since they saw him or he saw them. All they knew up to this point was that they had done a dastardly deed some 20 years earlier and sold him to this caravan on its way to Egypt. They knew absolutely nothing about Joseph as a slave, or Joseph in Potiphar's house, or Joseph's time in prison, and they knew nothing of his sudden rise to the power and to this high position. Joseph does not reveal himself at first. He accuses them of being foreign spies. Can you imagine being in a foreign land and being accused of being a spy? Which reminds me of fairly recent history when there were two people from Canada, two men by the name of Michael, who were in China on business for a number of years, and then they were arrested as being spies. They were not spies, so we understand, but China arrested them as being spies. Can you imagine being in a foreign land, being arrested, put in prison, under trial, sentenced for something that you did not do? This is precisely what happened to Joseph when he went to another land. And now the Israeli delegation is in Egypt, and they are now being accused of being spies. when they were before Pharaoh's right-hand man, before the prime minister, before Joseph, I think that the Israeli delegation, I think they were shaking in their sandals. In a surprise move, Joseph had put them in prison for 3 days in custody, and then he released them. But he keeps one of the brothers, Simeon, as a hostage, and he wanted them to go back to Israel and return with Benjamin, the youngest son. Why did Joseph want to see Benjamin? Because Benjamin was his full brother, and he hadn't seen him for 20 years. He must have been thinking about him, dreaming about him. He must have been thinking about the other brothers and family members, and now 20 years has gone by. So he sends the delegation back to Israel and says, next time you come, you bring your brother Benjamin. Now, all the other brothers were half-brothers, same father, different mothers, but Joseph and Benjamin had the same mother. The horrified and terrified brothers acknowledged to others that their present misfortune had doubtless been caused because of the terrible sin that they had committed 20 years ago. Even though Reuben, the oldest, tried to convince them not to kill the boy, and they ultimately did not, but there was a sin. There were so many things that they had done wrong at that point. And just reviewing the verses 21 to 24, they said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but he would not listen. But we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. Reuben replied, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood. They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then turned back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. When we read that Joseph had turned away from them and had wept, we see something of his heart. Here was his brothers. Now, Joseph by this time was fluent in the Egyptian language, but he still remembered his Hebrew language. So the brothers were talking among themselves in Hebrew, but Joseph had an interpreter there. But Joseph knew everything that was going on, knew every word that they had spoken. And when he heard his own language and when he heard what they were saying, he wept. It seems to me that Joseph had a soft spot in his heart, and he did not have hate in his heart, which is a praise God item. And friends, from this, you and I can learn a life lesson. What is the life lesson? Do not hold hate in our hearts. Such hate harms us more than it hurts the person whom we hate. In fact, the scripture tells us, God says that vengeance is his, not ours. There are people who have been hurt. Perhaps there's someone here today that either yesterday or last week or last month or last year or many, many years ago, you were hurt by someone in some way, and it hurt deeply, and you have not forgotten that hurt. And you at least in your mind, you want to get some vengeance. You want to get back at this person. But the Christian way is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are to forgive. Until we forgive, we will never let go of the hurt. Once we forgive, we will let go of the hurt, no longer hanging on to it. And sometimes the hurt is so bad that someone has hurt us, whenever it was, we just can't bring ourselves to the point of forgiving. Now, when we get to that stage, that's when we need to come to the Lord. That's when we need to say, Lord Jesus, you know that so-and-so hurt me so deeply some time ago, so many years ago. I can't get rid of my hurt. Lord Jesus, I know I'm to forgive. I need the help of your Holy Spirit to genuinely reach out and forgive that person who has hurt me so badly. That's the life lesson. We need to learn to forgive. Not only learn, we need to forgive. That is the Christian way. Joseph had been hurt terribly, and yet he was in the process of forgiving his brothers, all that took place to him. It forces us, when we think about this and think about a life lesson, to make sure that we are right with the Lord, that we forgive other people. We are forgiven as we forgive others. So we need to forgive. So I plead with you, if you have a hurt in your heart, whenever it happened, that you come to God, you pray to him, and if you haven't forgiven already, you will do so now. Now Joseph is about to send his brothers back, and he tests them by placing the money that they had paid for the grain back in their grain sacks without their knowledge. And as they were traveling, they discovered the money and were terrified. What's going on is what really came to their mind. Now in Genesis 42, verses 29 to 38, we read this. When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who was lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.'" The one who is no more was Joseph. They still did not know who Joseph was in Egypt. Now they're coming back, and they're telling their father what it's all about. "Then the man who was lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving households, and go. But bring your youngest brother to me. I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow.'" Can you imagine the anguish of Jacob's heart? He knew what was going on. Simeon was now in custody in Egypt. The other brothers had returned. They continued, these brothers, the message that one is not, Joseph is no more. And dear Jacob did not want Benjamin to be taken away from him. He remembered all too vividly that Joseph was taken away from him, and he didn't want this to happen again. Well, the story continues, and it's really very interesting as we look at this story. Finally, Jacob gives in and allows the boys, including Benjamin, to go back to Egypt. He was determined not to let him go, but he finally, because of the increase of the famine, was forced into action. Jacob allows Benjamin to go with the rest of the sons to Egypt. Can you possibly imagine the anxiety in his heart? Again, they present themselves to Joseph, who takes them to his palace for a feast. It must have been quite a setting. The brothers attempt to convince Joseph's household manager that they had not stolen the payment on their former trip. Simeon is now released and joins the group. Now, for the first time in 20 years, all 12 brothers are together again. They are not aware that they're all together. Only Joseph is. The brothers are fed at a separate table from Joseph. But to their absolute amazement, Joseph has seated them in order of their ages, from the oldest to the youngest. And to Benjamin, he gave 5 times as much food as he gave to anyone else. Can you imagine the scene? It might be easy to tell the oldest from the youngest, but it might be a little more difficult to tell all the ages of those in between. And yet, Joseph had set them at the table in order, from the oldest to the youngest. Their curiosity, their anxiety must have been increasing. So their sacks again were filled with grain, with their payment, and in Benjamin's sack, he put a silver cup. Well, it was discovered on the way, and the story unfolds as it goes along, but now we're going to jump over to chapter 43, verses 11 to 13. Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be, then do this." This is when he was sending them back to Israel. "Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once." That's what they were to do. Now, can you just picture this scene? We were talking about the consternation of Joseph's brothers. Now they're heading back. Now lots of things are going to happen. Finally, we're going to see a revealing of who Joseph is. And we discover this as Joseph, the forgiving saint. The brothers are now before Joseph for the second time. Joseph now sends his attendants after this big banquet. He sends his attendants out. I imagine there'd be quite a few of them. And he was now alone with his brothers. And in chapter 45, verses 1 to 5, "Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, 'Have everyone leave my presence.' So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still living?' But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Every time I read that passage, even now, I get a shiver up my back, just trying to put myself in that position of either Joseph or one of the brothers, to see this great uniting, that reuniting that has taken place. It was a tearful reunion. And Joseph informs them that there's going to be 5 more years of this famine. So therefore, you need to go back, you need to get our father, you need to get the households, and you need to bring them and save them. Bring them all back to Egypt. Pharaoh hears the news, and he rejoices with Joseph. The sons return to their father. And I'm going to read verses 25 to 28. "So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, 'Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt.' Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, 'Jacob, Israel, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" What a story. What a magnificent truth. This is God's word. Only God could orchestrate all of this. Do you remember when Joseph was still a boy? He had these dreams, and the dreams were that his household would bow down before him. The sons, the brothers, were absolutely shocked at this. And that was one of the reasons why they had so much jealousy against Joseph and tried to kill him, but instead sent him off in a caravan as a slave. And it's true, this was a dream that came from God, because there was a time 20 years later when these boys all bowed down before Joseph. Why? Well, Joseph continued to be faithful to the Lord. He loved, not hated his brothers. He knew what it meant to forgive. He had a forgiving spirit. He forgave his brothers, and he was really excited to see them all again. He must have often thought about them, thought about his father, thought about his brothers, thought about his true brother, Benjamin, his full brother. Now the family was together again. This was a time of great rejoicing. Can you imagine when these boys went back to Jacob and told him that Joseph was alive? Can you imagine what went through their minds and his mind? They had to now confess their sin that Joseph was not killed by a wild animal. They had faked it, as you remember. Read the full story from about Genesis 37 right through to the end of Genesis. It will uplift your heart. It's a great story of Joseph and his brothers and how they sinned and how forgiveness came in. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin we have. I was impressed by the hymn that we sang earlier, that Jesus' blood doesn't matter how foul the sin is. Jesus' blood will cover it. And that's true in your life and in mine. And I think of these brothers and the great sin they had committed. They committed against God, committed against their father. And 20 years of grieving, this man Jacob, Israel, he went through, grieving for his son Joseph. And now all of a sudden, the brothers come back and tell him the complete story. Paul Harvey used to say, "And now you know the rest of the story." Well, Jacob was now finding the rest of the story. He found out how the dastardly deed that his sons had committed. And now he's rejoicing over it all. And the Lord told him that he was going to be with him. We see that in chapter 46, I think, that the Lord said, "I will be with you, Jacob, when you go to Egypt. You will not be alone." What a day of rejoicing this must have been. Now, we have life lessons, many, to learn out of this. We learn to continue to be faithful to the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. We learn to continue to love and don't allow hate to permeate within our being. We learn that we must forgive, whether it was yesterday or many years ago. We must forgive those who have hurt us or who are hurting us. And then when we give that forgiveness, and if we can't, then we pray to God, "Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, please allow me to forgive so-and-so for what has happened. And remember, and forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us." We are in the forgiving business. Father, we thank you for this marvelous and wonderful story of Joseph. We thank you for his forgiving spirit. Thank you, Lord, that he could see that despite all that had happened to him, it was by your design. And Lord Jesus, there are things going on in our lives that sometimes we just don't know about, but we know that you do. And we continue to place our trust in you, and we know that all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. There's someone here today who has unforgiveness in his or her heart. And Lord, I pray that that person or those people will come to you and they will forgive those who have hurt them. And pray, Lord, that we will have forgiving spirits, whether it's at work, at home, at play, at church, wherever it is, that we would have a forgiving spirit. And that we would pray diligently for those that have hurt us in any way, that they may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.